Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Barbecue Shop Talk. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Barbecue Shop Talk right here on BarbecueSuperstars.com. We'll give you a call-in number, 347-202-0263. Again, that's 347-202-0263. Welcome your call tonight. We'll give a shout-out to a couple of our sponsors, Lang Smokers and Backwoods Smoker. And other than that, we've got a short list of sponsors tonight. And we want to go ahead and get right into the show. Tim, how's things down in the low country? You wet as well?
Yeah, it's a little soggy down here. Rain's starting to taper off a little bit, just in time for me to hand out to the old banjo lesson. But I think the rain's going to come through about 12 o'clock tomorrow. It's supposed to start clearing up. So hopefully everything is going to be nice and sunny. We're looking at a great weekend here in the low country. We've got the Cooper River Bridge Run, but it's the bridge run down here, the Ravenel Bridge. Also got the Family Circle Tennis Cups going on, and we have the Azalea Festival. And if you haven't been down to Somerville to see the Azalea Festival, I'll tell you, you're missing out. It is pretty awesome. So looking forward to a great weekend. Unfortunately, I'll miss half of it because looking at the SCBA calendar, I'll be traveling to Florence in the morning. Mark, we got two contests this weekend. First contest is going to be in Pickens. Actually, Easley, South Carolina. It's called the Pickens Pig Picking. That's at the old Market Square in Easley. And it looks like that's a great lineup of teams in the upstate for that. And then I'll actually be in Florence for the Big Brothers and Big Sisters Barbecue Festival. And that's going to be in West Hillcrest Terrace in Florence. So come on out. Got anything but on Friday night. I'm doing a wild boar jambalaya. So I got some wild boar sausage and maybe a little jambalaya out of it. And then it's going to be a butts-only competition. So we'll be cook a butts that night and serve it up the public Saturday. But they've got some great festivities out there. I think Pepsi's out there with free drinks, jump castles. They got an antique show, an antique market and set up, and they got a car show, I believe. So lots of good stuff in Florence. So if you're in upstate, head on over to Easley and check out Pig Picking up there. So two great events this weekend. Looking a little forward in the calendar, next weekend we've got the Teal Chicken Pig Picking. That's going to be in Conway, South Carolina. So check the events calendar out for that. And then the 19th and 20th is a busy weekend for SCBA fans. We've got, I believe, three contests. We've got Hijaz, is that how you say it? Shriners Cook-Off?
Hijaz, I think it is.
Hijaz Shriners Cook-Off. That's going to be in Malden. And then we've got the Come See Me Festival up in Rock Hill. And then we've got the South Carolina, Georgia Border Barbecue Cook-Off down in Hardeeville, and that's where JT's Barbecue will be. I'll be down in Hardeeville, South Carolina, so come visit us down there. Bring your tent. And then rounding out the month of April will be the Old Friends Barbecue Cook-Off in Bamberg, South Carolina. I cooked this event many, many years ago, so it's great to see Bamberg come back with a cook-off, partly because it's only 45 minutes from my house. So love those close cook-offs. So looking forward to an action-packed weekend of barbecue calls. It's been a great run on the SCBA calendar for JT's Barbecue. We have had two SCBA events. We've got two first-place finishes. So we're glad to win Port Royal and glad to win in Aiken last weekend. Dwayne Jones put on a stellar event. I love it. I told him that too, Mark, and you can testify to this as well. It's great when cookers who are also event coordinators, you know what I'm saying? Because they understand, you know, what we go through and the vibe, and everything was great. We had plenty of help there to help us serve. It was the way we were set up. It was easy load in, easy load out. We had early awards, ran right through the awards. I mean, it was great. It was a really cooker-friendly event. So hats off to Dwayne Jones and all the crew down at Horse and the Hoggin and in Aiken. So had a great time cooking down there. So what's on your calendar coming up, Mark?
We're not cooking again until October. I'm going to go ahead and mention this event because I know it's pretty early on. But it's just an absolutely great event. We've been at the last 2 years. The mayor of Gaston, I think you met him over at the Commissioner's Cup.
Sure did.
He puts on a great little festival out there, and I helped him organize that 2 years ago. And he was really concerned about the cookers. And so we set everything up so you actually pull in on Friday when you set up, and you're headed out. It's kind of a U shape, so you have three different areas you can just drive completely out of the site. So once they start serving collards and cornbread, this is in conjunction with the Collards Festival. Once they start serving, they let the public walk around and sample some barbecue. Then they come get the last couple pans, take it into their 50s retro diner where they're serving collards, cornbreads, black-eyed peas, and barbecue. And they do the awards real quick, and they're out of there. The party goes on to about 5 or 6 o'clock, but last year the awards were, I think, at 1:45, and at 12:45, and at 1 o'clock, I was home. I live 7 miles away, but we were home and unloaded.
Love it.
Let's everybody go early, and Friday night's just a really light night for everybody. We served about 20 people. They have a big auction in there. You get a lot of great stuff that they auction off, anything from, I've seen chairs in there, furniture, clothing, all the way to jewelry. A great opportunity to do some early Christmas shopping, save some money because they have some deals over there. And one lady's dedicated all year. She just buys stuff for this auction. So it literally goes on for 2 or 3 hours. Venice is absolutely wonderfully run. Everybody's just laid back. It's nice and quiet on a Friday night, and pretty laid back on Saturday morning, too. So that's the same. The first weekend in October, I'd encourage anybody that's not cooking somewhere there to come out. It normally conflicted with, the last 2 years conflicted with Edgefield, but I heard Edgefield has been moved to the last weekend in September. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, you get to go up. You get to go up and cook whole hog the weekend before, and hopefully you'll come up to Gaston for that event. I think you'll really enjoy it.
So. Yeah, I'll check that out. I certainly love the Edgefield event, so I don't want to miss an event down there with Joel Jolly. He runs a first-class event as well. And I tell you, I'm really, really leaning towards the events that are more cooker-friendly. The ones that, like Dwayne's event down there, is nothing on Friday night, which was, it was great. I understand that, you know, a lot of these events are to make money for charities, and my hat's off to you, but every now and then when you get a break from doing Friday night events, and I doubt I'm going to do any more events where it's mandatory Friday night events as well, because I think sometimes it gets a little crazy with this mandatory 202-ounce servings and first place is $150. I mean, I'd just rather just give the event organizer $100 and leave me alone for Friday night, you know, because there's no way you're going to make any money off of it. That's a whole lot of work. What I do like is I like the way they're doing these chicken wing throwdowns on Friday night. I think that's really neat because they provide the wings, and then you cook it, and then everyone's got these different wings to taste and sample. They're still making their money on Friday night with the wristbands. It's not, you know, they're helping the cookers out by by not, you know, gigging them, making them come up with $150 worth of ingredients and stuff. So I really like those events. I'm going to gear more towards those. However, I do have some bad news, Mark. I'm going to have to pass on to you. From what I understand, there's not going to be any more Boston Butt contests in South Carolina, or probably the nation for that matter, because we can thank our good friends, Garland Hudgens at Carolina Outdoor Cooking, who has posted the new U.S. Meat Industry Rename Cut article. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Yes, yes, just posted on the message board this afternoon. I also got it on Facebook. And for our viewers, this is like breaking news. If you tune in to Barbecue Shop Talk on Thursday at 7 o'clock, you're going to be the first person to hear this. But the U.S. meat industry has now renamed the cuts for pork, and they believe that a lot of the pork cuts and the beef cuts as well were getting a little too difficult to understand, things like butler steaks or top shoulder, blade steaks, boneless flat iron steaks. So now they're going to a little bit easier methodology and nomenclature for these cuts. They're going to be calling the pork chop is gone now. It's going to be called the porterhouse chop or the ribeye chop, or what's also called the New York chop. And our beloved pork butt is now going to be called the Boston roast. So from now on, when you see these cuts in the stores, they won't be seeing the Boston butt labels anymore. It'll be Boston roast. So I guess new cookoffs, we'll see that coming out in the applications pretty soon. We're going to do Boston roast cookoff. So looking forward to that. So check out the SCBA message board. Garland was great enough to post that article up there. It's a pretty interesting read, so check that out. Now, Martin, do you know where all these cuts, different cuts came from?
I do not. I don't know why they renamed it. You know, that presents a challenge for us. Owning Buzz's Butt Dust, what do we change it to? Buzz's Roast Dust?
Buzz's Boston Roast Dust. From what I understand, I took a butchery class once, and it was during the Depression, and, of course, we were having a lot of problems with folks going hungry, and what they did was they kind of put a freeze on the cuts, the price of different cuts. So, let's say a filet, for instance, or Delmonico steak, they froze the price per pound that the purveyor could charge. Now, you could set your price if you developed a new cut. So that was the Depression-era butcher's folks' way of getting around the price set, is they would come out with a new cut, a hanger steak, a flat iron steak, a blade steak, and they could go ahead and set their price per pound, and of course it would be more, you know, they put, you know, their thumb on the scale, and that's how you get all of these different cuts these days, is back from the Great Depression era, where they would rename all the different cuts of meat. So pretty interesting stuff.
Always a wealth of knowledge there on the history. You and Daniel get along great. You know, we went up to Washington, D.C. In that area. We stopped at Jefferson's place on the way up in Virginia. And once we got to Washington, it was pretty amazing that he walked us around everywhere we went, like Mount Vernon. He knew everything about it, knew everything about Washington. We went to the Capitol. Joe Wilson's assistant took us on a tour. He knew everything about the photos in there and just, you know, it was unbelievable. It was like having our own personal guide. We went to the battlefields, and he taught us all about it. So he really enjoyed that in school. I've learned to like history more through him. So, and it's kind of neat to find out about the foods, why they were Boston butts and so forth.
Yeah, pretty neat stuff, you know. I enjoy kind of the history behind this. And we've included a lot of that in our classes. Now, folks, we've got an April 7th class that we're going to have to reschedule. There are some issues with the class and some logistical parts. So we're going to actually reschedule that class. But we are going to keep on the calendar our May 5th Mother's Day class, our June 9th Father's Day class, and our July 14th Start Your Own Competition Cook Team class, which are still going to be ahead at the South Carolina Farmers Market. We're going to re-announce the date for the rib class. So we'll definitely, and we may, we've had some requests to do a few other proteins, so we may even look at combining that class with some other proteins. It's still going to be up in the air a little bit. So I apologize to those who had registered already, and we should have made contact with everyone by now to let you know about the cancellation of that class, but we'll definitely get a new date out there and let you know about that. Also on your calendars, April 13th, I will be doing a barbecue demo at Tanger Outlet, which is in North Charleston, shopping complex there in the city of North Charleston. Celebrity chef Curtis Stone, who used to have a television show called Take Home Chef, and you probably know him more recently from the host of Top Chef Masters on Bravo. He'll be down there doing a demo as well. Myself and Chef Scott Stefanelli from the Culinary Institute of Charleston will be doing demos. I'll be doing a barbecue demo. I'm not sure what Chef Stefanelli is doing or Chef Curtis Stone, but it's going to be an action-packed day. So my demo starts, I believe, 11 o'clock. So come on out. And Chef Miles Huff will be the MC of the event. It's going to be a great time. We've got some recipe cards. I'll be doing a demo on injections and dry rubs and Boston butts and a great all-American pulled pork sandwich. So definitely come on out and check that out. I believe there's going to be food trucks out there doing a food truck rodeo, so you'll be able to taste some great food out there as well. Again, that's April 13th, about 11 a.m., out of the Tanger Outlets in North Charleston.
I'm looking forward to that. We're going to ride down for that ourselves. In fact, I think you guys have an Apple store down there. We're going to ride down and check that out as well while we're down. And I want to mention in May 18th, there's an event going on down at Brittlebank Park called the Beer Garden. And Robin Ray, which has been on our show a couple times with Slather Brand Food, is actually doing some food out there. She'll be doing chicken legs slathered with her sauce, and then she'll be using our sauce and rubs on some meatball sliders that have peppers, onions, and I'm not sure what else. We were scheduled to help her. We have a conflict on that date, so Larry Harrison, a preacher pit, a friend of mine, a preacher up here, his daughter is actually coming down. They vend a lot. vended over at the market 2 weeks ago, and they're actually will be down helping in my place. I hate we're going to miss it. I hate we're not going to be in Charleston in the beautiful weather in May, but my son's graduating, and we have a big party up here. So anyway, I encourage everybody to go out and check that out. It ought to be a fun time for the event, a beautiful location, and say hello to Robin. Tell her you've heard her on the show. I know she'll appreciate that.
I'm looking forward to that. I'll actually be in at the Mineral Springs Park in Williamston, South Carolina that weekend for a SCBA event called Pig in the Park. So we'll be up there Friday and half day Saturday cooking Boston butts up there. It looks like that's going to be a great event as well. So looking forward to traveling to Williamston that weekend. Well, Mark, you want to do a little recap on our famed Farmers Market barbecue?
Absolutely.
Event we had a couple weeks ago. It was a little chilly out there, wasn't it?
It was more than a little chilly at 4 o'clock in the morning, I can tell you that. It was great for Friday nights, well attended. I think we were out of product within about 20 minutes, and you and I both, we were sitting there together right by the ticket booth. I know we were out of pork real early as well on Saturday, and what surprised me is how many people kept coming even in the rain. And for listeners out there who's not familiar with this location, they have a one-acre building. So the sides are open, and the cookers are set up underneath it. And so people come in, they stay dry the whole time, and it was a really big event. It improved a little bit from the year before. I haven't heard all the numbers from the Department of Ag yet, but I know they were, I think, a few hundred above on Friday night, and it looked to me, judging by last year on Saturday, there was a good amount more people on a Saturday. I know everybody give out a barbecue fairly soon. How did you see it?
Yeah, actually, we ran out about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and that's one thing I wanted to pass on, too, because we had some folks down in Aiken that did the same thing where you start serving barbecue just after your pork turn-in, which is like 10 in the morning, and if the event runs until 1, don't show up at 12:45 wanting barbecue. I mean, you know, you think about it, you know, by the time 1 o'clock rolls around, you've been serving pulled pork for 3 straight hours, and like in Aiken last weekend, I luckily had a server out there helping us with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes from local high schools, but we served, I had a line nonstop. So from 10 a.m., I turned my pork in, turned a novice box in at 10:05 or so, and then I opened up Chafer and we started serving. And, you know, and it was a straight line for 2.5-3 hours, and I ran slap out. So if you're listening and you want to go out and hang out at these barbecue cook-offs and come and you know, please make sure you get there early to get your pork and all in, because, you know, if you wait till – it may be advertised to go till 1:30, but it's first come, first serve. When we start serving, it starts rolling quick. And we had great crowds out there at the farmer's market. It was thick as fleas out there for a little while. So it was a great time. Had some great music out there as well, and it was a good time.
It was. They had some very good music. A couple of those guys, I was told, was right on the cusp of breaking it big up in Nashville, and I enjoyed the music. I kind of understand why. Bryson Jennings, I think, is one that's been in Nashville for some time now, so in a local product out of Sumter, I believe. So if you hear him around here, check him out. But the contest was it's a great contest as far as the venue and the crowds that were there, even with rain. And I think everybody walked away from it happy that they had cooked in that venue. I know there were a lot of new teams and home teams. And I think that event really kind of draws a big crowd of folks that are first-time cookers. And we're really talking about first-time cookers. You know, in July, you and I are doing a class of Start Your Own Team, competition team, and we've got a lot of interest in it so far, so we encourage you to contact us and sign up for that class. I actually have Frank Thomas, one of the partners of Moore Thomas, one of the senior partners, started the firm, accountant, loves barbecue, and he's coming out to do a presentation specifically about some of the business aspects and accounting bookkeeping aspects of having a team. And he's always a wealth of knowledge, and so I encourage you to come out just to hear his part of the presentation will be worth the money. And then Tim will be doing a wonderful job on all his tips and techniques and checklists and everything else. I'm probably going to walk out with a bunch of information myself. So.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be one of these classes that that it's going to have a waiting list, because we've already got folks signing up here and showing a lot of interest in it. So definitely if you want to check that class out, we encourage you to do it. I don't know of any other class that's like that, and I've been to every barbecue class you can name. This is not going to be a class that's going to teach you how to cook barbecue. This is going to be a class that's going to prepare you to be successful on the competition circuit. I just packed up all the gear for this weekend as far as rubs, sauces, injections, marinades, you name it. Everything's done, and there's a technique to doing all of it. There's a technique to, I believe, when you get to a contest, how you set up, what you unpack, what you bring, what you, and is almost as important as what you do not bring, because everyone's full of you know, excitement and vinegar and all whenever it comes time for the cook off, and you got a good night's sleep Thursday because you're in your bed and you're all packed up and you've got all week to prep. But when you hit the ground running it Friday, especially if you're doing, you know, I see a lot of teams doing some elaborate anything but, you know, where they're creating so many dishes for themselves, and, you know, as far as pots and pans and spoons and cutting boards and everything else. And there you got a lot of dishes. By the time they get their pork delivered to them, let's say 6, 7 o'clock after a cook's meeting, they're already exhausted. You should see some of these family, and their cook site is a wreck because of just so they had anything but. You know, and now they've got, and they did all that for $200, you know, not realizing they got a $1,500 pork turn in, you know, in 10 hours or 12 hours from then. So there's a lot of cool stuff you're going to get as far as tips and techniques. Even the little things like I do now, Mark, as you know, I use these disposable cutting boards. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit of an investment. You know, they're kind of heavy, so you get hit with a little shipping costs. But if you don't have to wash a cutting board, you know, who has a sink big enough to wash a cutting board out there? And they're just, and these are the large cutting, disposable cutting boards. I'm in, I'm out. You know, if I'm doing pork and then ribs, you know, I got a pork cutting board, boom, boom, boom. I build my box, that cutting board's in the trash, a clean cutting board comes out, and in less than 5 seconds, I'm set up to do ribs, and I'm waiting for the turn-in. So just little things like that, how to do your rubs ahead of time, how to package your rubs, your injections. You'd be surprised, unless you cook barbecue on a competition level and you do it seriously, how much liquid is involved. I don't know if you've run into the same problem, but whenever, I mean, I've got injections, I've got mists, mops, marinades, finishing sauces, finishing glazes, and I've got all those for each category. So if I'm doing butts, ribs, God forbid, chicken, I mean, I've got like all these sauces and stuff. So there's a way to consolidate all of those things and to get the maximum bang for your buck. Because I tell you what, if you come to my cook site about 7 a.m., you'll see me. I'll have everything set up, and I'll be hitting a five-hour energy right then, and then I'm ready to rock and roll. So little things like that to get you set. And how to run your pit, the timing that goes behind it to make sure that when turn-in time comes, you know, you've got everything ready to go. And then down to when in the SCBA, when they sound the horn, how to build your, you know, not how to build your box so much because we cover that in other classes, but the technique behind the timing, the technique behind, you know, okay, now we've built the box and turned it in, but guess what? Now you got to serve the public for the next 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff to do, neat ways to set up chafing dishes. I'm always amazed when I see these cook teams come out, and it's usually the ones that have wives involved who really like to come out and decorate, or it's the ones who have a whole lot of friends and family show up Friday night and want to set everything up really nice, and somehow they disappear Saturday, or they have the game, you know, and then you're left cleaning up all the tablecloths and the hay bales and the plants. And how much money did all that stuff win you, you know? Hmm. You come to my site, you see a tent with a wall on it, you know. I just don't know how much tablecloths add to the overall price. And when you're cooking every weekend, it's a little tough to go out there and buy decorations and stuff. So this is going to be a class for the guys and the gals who want to really dive into competition barbecue and try to make it profitable and pay off. So definitely looking forward to doing that. And it's going to be a great class, so looking forward to having everybody come out for that one.
I'm looking forward to it. I already started putting some stuff together on my end for it, and looking forward to doing the class, because I know some of the folks that are already signed up to come in, and it's going to be a fun class from that aspect. But you know, get an opportunity to impart some knowledge. You know, some of the stuff even haven't been around it, judging and so forth. I really didn't put all that together the first time we went out for an event, and it was, took way too much stuff, forgot some stuff. And, you know, when you set up and do checklists and you do it as long as you have, that wealth of knowledge there is worth a whole lot. It's worth a lot more than we're charging for class, because it will save you a lot of headache in the long run. Believe me, we've eased our packing up a lot. So.
Oh, yeah. I remember I cooked next to Seth Watari with Somar Swine, and Seth's a great pit master in his own right. And he, after the contest, said, "Man, I have got to do what you do." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I put my hand on way too many things during this contest, you know." And he did. You know, he's one of these guys that has a specific attention to detail that really pays off, because he's very successful. But it's a lot of equipment involved, and I have a lot of equipment. It's just the manner in how you unpack it and use it. You know, everybody's so quick to get to the cook-off, and you can see them. They pull into their event site, they jump out of their truck, and they just start unhooking the cooker and unpacking everything. And it's just, there's a method to the madness that I can show you from 13 years of doing this, that's, people are going to walk by going, "Is anybody even cooking there? I don't see anything." But you definitely got all the stuff and the techniques there to win the event.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're just about out of time for this week. And so I think I'm about ready to sign off. Any closing words?
No, I'm going to head out to my fifth banjo lesson. Getting a little better, starting to play the Deliverance song now, so that's scaring the heck out of the neighbors. So I got the first few chords down, so looking forward to it. But so everybody, come on out and support SCBA, support the events this weekend. We'll see you in Easley or in Florence, and see you next week.
Good night, everyone.